Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Uptempo Talks. I'm Coach Rory Moynihan.
And I'm Coach Dylan Bellis.
We have kind of an interesting thing for you. We're always trying to mix up our topics. I don't know, we're going to unofficially call this, Why Do Runners Do That? So essentially we're going to answer three questions relating to things that you've seen other runners do. Maybe it's like a friend. It could be you've heard that professional runners do this. But we'll just discuss the merits of that action that they're taking and just explore if it's worth trying and what the idea or science behind it may be.
Absolutely. Yeah, whenever something so polarizing comes out in training, or they see a professional athlete do it, or you know somebody's had success with one thing, it gets totally blown out of proportion, and everybody wants to do that new thing, right?
Yeah, right.
And so we're kind of here to bring it to scale a little bit more because, again, we get people all the time who will be like, hey, they did this workout. I want to do this workout because this is the one that's going to make me the fastest. That's the one. You know, and you kind of have to bring things back to, back in line a little bit and like, hey, that's a good workout, but, you know, that's not something that we would do at the moment. And so runners have a ton of these things, right? So we see runners do all sorts of crazy things, whether it's your diet, whether it's training, strength training, you know, even going into the supplement world, or just really anything that's going to provide a response. So we are always looking for that next best thing, the next thing to push us over the edge. And that's natural as runners, right? That's just something that we're always striving to do is to get better and to find ways in which we can learn to do that. So we've actually got three things that we're going to discuss today on this segment on, you know, what runners are doing and you know, why they would do that. So our first thing that we'll go ahead and dive into is the beetroot juice. For those of us, I think most runners are relatively familiar with beetroot juice, or maybe you just like beets and you get the effect from that way. But there's tons of good products out there. Personally, I know of one called Beet Elite.
Beet Elite.
Yep. It's just a small packet. You put in a water bottle. They also have capsules and everything like that. But Rory, do you want to kick us off and tell us, you know, what's the role of beetroot juice and why does it pertain to running?
Yeah. So first I wanted to bounce off what you said earlier. Yeah. Especially in the fitness world and running, there's a lot of these clickbait type articles. And honestly, at first I thought beetroot extract or juice, whatever you want to call it, all these variations, I thought they might be one of those situations. But over time, I've actually seen some runners in town here and one of my friends were doing a track workout and I think he had one of the, it might have been Beet Elite, and he was putting the powder in his drink and taking it. I think he took it before the workout and then was taking it, in fact, in between intervals. So I thought that was interesting. And after looking into it further, basically beets are high in nitric oxide.
Yes.
So essentially they're going to like dilate the blood vessels and allow just more flow of nutrients. I mean, there's a lot more science to it, but a lot of studies have proven that they can improve your cardiorespiratory endurance system.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the term that they used was that it reduces the oxygen cost.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, it makes your running economy higher and reducing fatigue, which equals faster performance.
You can run efficiently faster.
Right. Now let's talk about some misconceptions here.
Sure.
Okay. So if you take beetroot juice and you're drinking it during your run, you're not going to feel like you just completely just transformed as a runner.
No.
Right? That's not going to happen. But it is something that has been studied relatively extensively for how specific it is. And it's something that could potentially help your performance over time, right? And it's not going to change your life in a day. You're not going to feel incredible. It just might be something that you can add to your training supplements repertoire that is easy, effective, and natural. I think that's the big thing is that you're not putting something in your body that's so questionable. You're just simply eating beets and a ground up version of them.
Well, I noticed you said easy, but you don't actually take it. Is there a reason why you don't like beets?
Yeah. So I have two foods in this world that I hate the most. Number one is coconut. I can't stand coconut. Mm-hmm. Number two is beets. So it's funny. I'm not trying to deter anybody who is listening. But my very first time that I ever took be elite. And here, let me tell you, it's not Beat Elite's fault. It's my fault because I didn't realize how bad I disliked beats.
Yeah.
But it was a 5Ks in Greensboro, North Carolina. I was on an airport strip, really hot day. And so, you know, when it's really hot, you know, your stomach doesn't really digest things well anyways, especially the first couple times out. So I prepared my Beat Elite before the race, and I was chugging it right before the race. I was like, I'm going to take this today. I want to try it first thing. And that's the first thing that you don't do. You don't try something new on race day, right? So learn from my mistakes. Do not experiment with this when the day is really, really important. Okay, so anyways, I chugged this whole bottle of Beat Elite for the race, and I was holding my nose drinking it. It was that disgusting. You know, and long story short, that Beat Elite was all over that tarmac. It was just everywhere. It was just hot day, gross, disgusting. But I had read up on it. I wanted to try it, and I encourage people to try it, but maybe not in the way that I did it.
Good point. I mean, it's something you want to weigh. So first of all, if you really don't like beets, that might be a reason not to try it.
Right.
It's going to be somewhat expensive.
Yes.
The studies show, I think it's a very small percentage that it may increase your performance. So it might be like, I want to say I saw one of the studies was like 5%.
Probably less than that.
Less than that.
5% is a lot if you think about it.
True.
Over a marathon. So it's probably very specific.
Well, I think the study I saw was looking at 5K distances. So
okay.
5%, which would be pretty minor. So basically, I think it's kind of one of those things where, especially if you're an elite and every second really counts,
yeah.
It makes sense. You can just plug your nose, put it down. But for a lot of people who are just kind of, you know, weekend warriors, or
yeah,
just it may not be worth it to spend the money and then sure. to pick up 30 seconds on their 10K for them.
Yeah, maybe not. But, you know, I think with, you know, just having being a vasodilator, that can also help with
true.
Recovery
yeah.
too,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's a lot of different ways that can be included without it being directly related to your running, you know,
yeah.
in that sense. So, yeah, so that's, you know, that's our first thing, beets, you know, beet root juice. What's the hype around it? Why are people doing it? Why are people taking it, and how they take it? So that's generally, you know, you talked about your friend and how he was taking it. I shared my unfortunate.
Yeah, so we tried to present both sides there, and
yeah.
you can decide for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right, so moving on. So the next thing we're going to talk about here is doubles, but more specifically, a double after the long run of the week. And so most people are once a day kind of runners, right? 99% of people. But you have that 1% of people who can benefit from the extra run, that double, so the morning, a.m., p.m. type of run. Why would we want to do 2 days? And more specifically, why would we want to do those after a long run?
I heard that some runners in town, again, we reference what some of the pros are doing because you first hear about other
yeah.
top-notch runners doing it, and you're like, hey, is that going to make me run like them? But I think some elite runners were running like maybe 20 to 22 miles
yeah.
for their long run in the morning, and they'd still follow it up in the evening with like a half hour or about 4 miles, which sounds pretty intense, and it is. So essentially, it would be like an opportunity. I'm guessing a lot of them included some type of workout in their run. It wasn't just an easy pace.
Right.
And it's going to basically clear out the toxins and just make the legs feel fresher. They actually might potentially feel not as sore as if they just kind of collapsed on the couch for yep. the evening.
Yeah. I mean, so the big thing, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to kind of jump off, you know, what mm-hmm. you've already said. So the big thing is just increasing circulation. Right, getting things moving again. I think we all can relate to going for a long run and then just kind of maybe sitting on the couch all day and then having to do something that afternoon and just being really kind of creaky and slow and just kind of feeling like you're, you know, breaking out of your shell.
Yeah.
But so the role of that extra run, that 20 to 30 minute run in the afternoon, is to help increase blood flow, to help, you know, get the muscles moving, active recovery. And again, this is a very, very, very easy pace.
So light.
Yeah. So you would, you know, not even try to go out and run a normal pace. It's just as easy as you can and get the time in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in itself is, you know, potentially make you feel better the rest of that week. It also can make you feel better the rest of that night. So really just helping your body, you know, forcing your body to jump into recovery mode again. And a lot of people might think running twice a day is going to help me recover. But over time, it actually does. You know, a short run sometimes is better than no run at all. Sure. We've experienced that with just doubling, not after a long run, but just in the middle of the week after a hard session in the morning. It's really nice to go out for a nice, light, easy run. And then you feel better that next day versus if you didn't do that, you might kind of have some of that stiffness in there. And then again, this can be altered through like a walk or a bike or elliptical or something like that. But some people will do it through the act of running itself. To add one more thing to this, the reason why you would also want the two runs and why it helps you recover is that it's going to help stimulate, you know, specific hormones. One I can name off the top of my head is HGH, testosterone. So, you know, human growth hormone and testosterone, these things work together. And so if you get two different spikes of this during the day, then you're basically just waking your body up and say, hey, I need to recover, right? Mm-hmm. I need to increase or promote muscle repair. So you get that through strength training. You get that through running twice a day as well. So, you know, just a couple things of how and why that could be applicable.
Yeah. No, thanks for explaining the science behind it. I also want to point out there may be some of our athletes or beginning runners who are like, oh, I should just start that right off the bat. But you want to be really careful when introducing these into your training. Mm-hmm. And then also, I think it's going to be something you're going to see with runners who are doing a little bit more volume.
Yes.
There's not a whole lot of logic to doing like a 3 mile run in the morning and then 3 miles in the evening. Usually one of them is going to be the longer effort.
Right. Right.
And from my experience.
And I wouldn't start with a long run as well. Right.
Right.
I would go and do this on an easy run. So for example, let's say you do that long run on Sunday. I think Monday could be a good day to do a double. So let's say you have 6 miles on Monday. Let's say you have 8 miles on Monday.
Yeah. I think that.
And you break it up into 4 and 4. That in itself is just as good as running 8 miles, especially when you're in hard training, because the role of that run is for recovery. And so you're not kind of diving into the fuel stores, you know, with that longer, easier run, but instead you're breaking it up. You're not, you know, expending as much energy for each of those runs. And through that, you might even feel better because of you're doing that and still being able to hit the mileage you have that day.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to our third and final question topic of the day. So this is kind of related. So what is the benefit of runners who do back-to-back workouts? It's one thing to do a double on an easy day, but back-to-back workouts, that sounds hard.
Yeah, it's all about stress and adaptation. That's kind of what this entire podcast is really about. I mean, that's training, right? Is providing your body with the stress and allowing yourself to adapt to it. And so that's kind of how we get better. You know, every time we get faster and those workouts change, that becomes a new stress. You know, if we increase our long runs, new stress. If, you know, that plays a role in everything that we do and how our body adapts to something. We would include back-to-back workouts, let's say on a Tuesday, Wednesday, to, again, provide the body with a new stress, help it kickstart into working on something new and getting better because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is very specific, right? Because most people can't do back-to-back workout days and survive it in terms of feeling good, you know, being able to hit that effort.
Yeah.
I know personally, I'm not at the point where I can do that, but you know, I've been there before. I've been able to do back-to-back workout days, but this is something that is highly specific and not something that I would generally recommend for most people, especially if those sessions are two pretty hard sessions, which they typically aren't. But this can also be used for people, especially marathon runners, who are a bit lower on the volume side of things. So if you only run 3 or 4 days a week, or maybe your mileage is kind of like 25 to 35, a lot of times, especially with Runners Connect, we will include a hard Sunday long run with a Saturday steady session. So a moderate effort, high volume with a moderate, you know, workout session on that Sunday. And that way you're breaking down, you know, instead of having someone who might go run 20 miles and it might take 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, that might take that long. Instead of doing that, you reduce the time that you're spending on your feet there. Maybe you do like 15 or 16. And that day before, maybe you're doing 10 or 12. And that way you're getting potentially even more mileage. But altogether, you're just hitting yourself with this big weekend stress that's going to be probably better than running straight for 20 miles.
Yeah, mentally it's a little bit easier to absorb and handle. And you said it's very specific situations in which you'd want to do that. So again, you mentioned marathon runners. I could see maybe some ultra runners who are doing a stage race where they need to be ready to kind of bounce back the next day.
Two long runs, right?
Two long runs. That's kind of a common pairing. Yes. And then for some track athletes, because it's tough. I'm sure you remember your track days when you had to do two or three different races within one meet, within a few hours.
Yeah, and you got to be ready for that. And again, that is a stress that you have to be ready for. Mm-hmm. If you can't race on back-to-back days, or you can't race, you know, on that same day, you know, you have to be able to train your body in a way to be able to do that. And so for a lot of people who run track, like you said, will have to maybe work in something like that. And that is effective for them. Most people, though, this is not something that we would recommend, right? But it can be effective if you get to that point and that we find that, hey, this is the stress that you need to take yourself to the next level. Have you ever done two hard workouts in the same day?
I can't think of any from college off the top of my head. I know we probably had them, but recently I've only done two ultras officially, two 50Ks. Mm-hmm. But I've been kind of trying to prepare myself by doing, say, like hill workout on the trails.
Yep.
The day before a long run. So that's kind of a tough pairing to come back and do a long run, especially if you make that long run on the trails and there's climbing involved, which here is very easy to do.
Yeah. And for most people too, the long run itself is a workout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a hard day. So if you worked out the day before, a hard session, quality session the day before, whether that's going up in the hills or that's on the track, and you follow that up with a long run.
Even if it's tough,
package deal. That's a big package deal. I've had two situations where I have, when I was in college, I had like a block of time where I was in really good shape, and we did a tempo run in the morning, and then we did 300s in the afternoon.
Okay.
So this is something that's not too uncommon, but again, it was like one moderate session and then one short, faster session. So these two workouts didn't crush me.
Okay.
And then I actually did one of my last marathon build where I actually broke up two, threshold based sessions. So I did in the morning, I did 4x1 mile, and then in the afternoon I did 8x800. So it was all around lactate threshold pace. So it's a hard pace, but a very manageable one. And that way I could get a big stimulus there because I had worked up to doing almost 10 miles in threshold at that point. But I get threshold work in the morning, recovery, and then another big session there in the afternoon. But again, not a really high stress on session, just trying to get a big total volume so that I provided my body something different than just hitting 10 miles at threshold pace, 10x1 mile. So I split it in the day, got a lot of volume out of it, and because of that, got a different effect than I would if I would do it differently. Again, something that's very highly, highly specific and, you know, not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, again, with everything that we've talked about today, it's all about stress, all about giving your body something different to work off of and getting better because of it. And if you don't allow yourself the rest, the recovery in between, then you won't allow that adaptation to happen. So the big thing here is knowing that, hey, if you're ever going to be introducing something new, something big, something different, you're going to also have to make sure that your body gets the opposite of that too, the recovery, those easy miles, rest days, whatever it is, so that that stress becomes progress.
So it'd also be a situation where if you want to try adding these doubles or back-to-back workouts, really helps to have a coach who is going to plan that accordingly. So just a little plug
for us. Yeah, absolutely. I think we can all say that we mindlessly have made mistakes
before,
and drove ourselves into the ground.
So hopefully you enjoyed the topics that we chose today. Like I said, unofficially, we're going to call this "Why Do Runners Do That?" And if it sticks around, great. It's kind of an idea we just hatched on the long run over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we picked the topics this time, but it's always helpful to hear feedback from you. Mm-hmm. So if you want to drop a comment and say, hey, I've wondered why do runners do this? That'll kind of give us material to discuss next time around.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody always has like personalized questions and, you know, stuff that pertains to them. We'll be more than happy to explore that topic.
Cool. All right. Signing off, this has been another episode of Up Tempo Talks. I'm Coach Rory.
And I'm Coach Dylan.
Have a great run today.